we're looking at Parshas Tzav, Vayikra, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes. The Dibra Maskil, the Meshech Chochma is going to compare two psukim in this Perek Vav in Parshas Tzav, the first of which is in the Parsha of a Korban Mincha, the second is in the Parsha of Chatos. In the first case, it says, Vanoseres mimena yochlu Aaron ubanov. In the second case, which is Chatos, that's in Pasuk Yutes, just 10 psukim later, it says, HaKoen HaMachate Oso Yochlenu. Let's compare these two psukim. With regard to Korban Mincha, the Torah speaks about the Achila of Aaron Ubanov, meaning of the Kohanim. The Kohanim will eat the Mincha. With regard to Chatos, the Torah emphasizes one particular Kohen, singles him out. Who is that? That's the Kohen HaMechate Osa. He's the Kohen who actually represented all the other Kohanim for this Avoda of this particular Chatos. So Rabbi Simcha wants to ask the following question. Why is it that in Korban Mincha, the Torah doesn't specify that the Kohen eats the Korban? He just says in a general sense, the Korban will be eaten by Aaron Ubanov. Whereas in Chatos, the Kohen HaMechate, who's in charge of the Avoda, he will eat the Korban Chatos. And Rabbi Simcha is going to offer two different answers to this question, and each one, I think, is exciting on its own. The first answer, he says, is nireh, it appears to me that this is the Torah's response to she'elas ha-minim. Now the word minim could mean many different things in many different contexts, but what's common to all interpretations of the word minim is that the minim were those who tried to undermine Judaism. They were the early Christians. Way before Paul, you know, they were the Hebrew Christians who rejected Judaism for the sake of Christianity, and they always had arguments to try to undermine Judaism. And they had a problem with the Parsha of Karbanos. Di'im Ruven Chata, Behema Ma Chata. Reuven did a sin. He's got to bring an animal as a korban. Why should the animal be killed because of the sin of the human being who brought this korban? Why is the animal guilty? Lama yamiru osa tachas nefesh adam. Why should the animal replace the adam? And the animal now has to give up his life and be taken, slaughtered, for the sake of the sin of man. Now, in the next line, he says, Lochein karbonos ha-minim ha-kol solas, dover sheni margish tzar. We'll get back to that. He says, Ya'ayin ikrim. And Rabbi Meir Simcha here refers you to the Sefer Ha-Ikrim. The Sefer HaIkrim was written at the time of the Gaonim, and in footnote number 2, he quotes the Sefer HaIkrim in its full, lengthy presentation, and the Ikrim quotes one of the Chachamim of the Chachmei HaNotzrim, one of the scholars amongst the Christians, and this scholar attacks Judaism very, very severely. And amongst the various things he says is that when you study the Torah of Moses, Timtza Chasera, it's incomplete. Well, we need another Bible, so to speak, to replace Moshe Rabbeinu's Bible. Chas v'shalom, right? He says, because, again, I'm not going through the whole presentation here of Rav Sajigon, but he says, Ki tehi titzave, the Torah of Moshe commands, harigas balichayim, that we destroy the lives of these animals for the sake of karbonos. And what do we do with these animals? Usreifas habasar, and we burn up the meat and the chalev and the fats, and we sprinkle the dam. And all this he calls avodos mizuhamos. You know, it's something, there's something like filthy about it. You know, like hygienically, you know, it sort of disturbs our sense of cleanliness. He says, Mashen came to Torah Yeshu, according to Jesus, avodos nekiya belechem ubiyayin. You know, the only thing that we do our service with is bread and wine, which are clean. So there's no, you know, you don't have all this burning stuff going on, and we're not killing animals. This was the argument of the Minim, meaning the early Christians. He says the following. He says, Lachain karbonos ha-minim, the Minim, these apikarsim, would only bring karbonos hakol solis. They brought it all from fine flour. Davar she'enu margish tsar. Right, the flour doesn't experience any kind of suffering.
I need to know for the doctor.
So let's just review. The Torah commands us to bring karbonos from animals, and the minim will only bring karbonos from solas, because a solas made of flour, that's not something that feels pain like an animal does. Lazeh choshesha haTorah shema yaharer hakohen bazeh. I'm going to interpret it thusly. The Torah was afraid that these arguments of the minim would somehow penetrate into the mind of the Kohen. And there would be, you know, some sort of even a subtle, minor percentage point of doubt in the mind of the Kohen, because he's influenced by this rationale, you know, this counter-argument of the minim. And when it comes to the Kohen Avodah, we need absolute 100% purity of thought. Kmo shedarshu b'sifri li'avdo b'chol levavchem, that the word li'avdo, which the Torah says requires the entire lev, the full heart, is a reference to the avoda, the kohanim. And it means shakonim lo yaharharu b'eis ha'avoda, that when the kohanim are involved in the avoda, they should not have any sort of thoughts or doubts about the avoda. We know, for example, that there's something called machsheves pigul, which means if the kohen has the wrong machsheva, it could completely invalidate the karbon. So we have to make sure liavdo b'chol levavchem, and he shouldn't be maharher. He shouldn't have any doubts in the back of his mind. Hainu his palsifus, that comes from the word philosophy, haminin. So these philosophical counter-arguments, you know, to try to undermine our Torah in the parish of Karbonos, of the Minim, should not in any way penetrate into his mind. Lachain, tzivsa, the Torah commands, shakoin amakuv osa, the Kohen himself who's doing the Avodah, yochal bi'atzmo, he brings this Karbon Chatos, he's the Kohen HaOved, and he himself should eat the chatos. And the oz yochlu acherim. And then when the other kohanim see that he's willing to eat from the basra chatos, they'll follow suit. It means that according to Rabbi Simcha, when the kohen eats from the chatos, he's demonstrating that the karbon is valid, it's kosher, and there was no admixture of the wrong machshavas, what's he called here, hurim, b'eis avoda. Ukmo sha'amar kol zachar b'kohanim yochal osa. She'im hu lo yochal. In other words, the pasuk indicates that after he eats, right, then it says kol zachar b'kohenim yochal osa, meaning the other kohenim will follow suit, because if he, the kohen oved, doesn't eat, shema they might be very hesitant to eat from the karban, because perhaps nafla b'libo hispalsfus haminin. Maybe the reason why he didn't want to eat from the karban, this kohen, the kohen amachti, the kohen oved, is because he has doubts. Perhaps these negative thoughts of the minim somehow entered into his mind, clouded his mind. Vukarov, he gives a similarity. L'mashomer Ramban beperusha shenemonis al nido shehi biatzma museres minemenis liatzma nemenis lacheru. That if a woman comes home and she's willing to have a relationship with her husband, it means she's testifying that she's not a nida, that she went to the mikvah, etc., etc., and then her husband will have no compunctions. So you've got to have one person who's demonstrating that the carbon is certainly kosher, that we should not entertain a chashash, a suspicion that maybe the Kohen had the wrong machshava b'shas avod. It wasn't li'avdo b'chol avavchem, because the thoughts and the arguments of the minim somehow penetrated into his heart, into his mind. So once that Kohen who does the avoda eats from the karban, he has demonstrated that the karban is absolutely valid. There was no admixture of the wrong thoughts. And then the other Kohenim will rely on him. They'll follow suit and they'll join him to eat from the karban. Masha enkein gabi mincha, with regard to a karban mincha, that's our pasuk here, pasuk tes in perek vav, where it says yochlu aron ubanav lo hiskir shal makriv yochlena. The Torah doesn't mention a word about the one particular karban who's bringing this mincha. Shemizeh ein lochesh lehirhur haispalsifus, because in the case of a karban mincha, there's not even a suspicion that maybe the thoughts of the minim would creep in, penetrate into his mind, because the minim have no argument with regard to a mincha that comes from flour, that comes from grains, that don't feel any tsar, as we discussed earlier. Is therefore, the Torah doesn't specify that the Kohen himself, who did the avodah, the mincha, he should be eating from the karma. The Ya'ayim betosis yevomis diva maska rotza kohen acher ochla. That, you know, any kohen could eat from the mincha, but in the case of chatos, Tosis seems to imply in Masechta Yevomis that maybe the kohen amakriv is the one who has to eat from it. Later on he could share it with others, but there's a special responsibility, obligation incumbent upon the kohen amakriv that he should be the first to eat from the korban chatos. Not so in the case of mincha. There, the kohanim will eat from the mincha. All kohanim are the same. So that's what I call the first answer, hakofa aleph, of the meshech chachma, as to why the Torah in the parsha of chatos emphasizes that the kohen amachti, that he should be eating from the carbon. Upashit Yoser. Now the Meshech Chachma wants to offer a second answer, which he considers even simpler, an alternative answer, based on the Ramah in Yoredeya. Demavur bi Yoredeya Ramah Simon Reish Mem Vav. The kidei levarer hora also tzarech talmid chacham lemitam mimena sheyatir. Now let's try to understand the Ramah, because you know Meshech Chachma just quotes the language of the Ramah out of context. We have to put this Ramah into context. The Ramah in Yoredeya, in Siman Reish Mem Vav, which is the Siman about Talmidei Chachamim, and how we have to respect Talmidei Chachamim, in that context, the Ramah addresses the following issue. Should a Talmud Chacham take a salary? You know, it's like Rabbanut. You know, the rabbis, do they get a salary? He says the following. That there are two different types of payments of money transactions, that are money that's given over to a Talmud Chacham. One is what he calls haspakah kvuah, a, you know, monthly salary that keeps the Talmud Chacham afloat financially. He can support his family. And then there's something called doronos min abrios, that people want to give him personal gifts. And he says the following, that a Talmud Chacham should be very, very inhibited about accepting gifts. Because then, if he accepts gifts, it's like he's using the Torah as a kardom lachbor, you know, it's for his own purposes, in order to get benefits from people who bring him gifts. So then, the Ramah asks himself, what about the statement in Chazal, kol amevi doron l'chacham kilu hikriv bikurim? So the statement of Chazal seems to indicate that it's praiseworthy to bring, to send a gift to a Chacham. Hainu bidoronos ktanim. He says that a small, modest gift you would give even to an Amoretz, even if he wasn't such a Talmud Chacham, so you could give that to a Talmud Chacham, and that's great. However, a major gift, a significant gift, which normally you wouldn't give to an Amoretz, that's something that we discourage you from giving to a Talmud Chacham, again, as we said before, because the Talmud Chacham is benefiting from his Torah in a financial way. And that's not what you... Again, if he gets a set salary, that's acceptable. But gifts, especially significant gifts, I don't know how much that means, whether it's $100 or more, I don't know. I remember I was in Canada, and... it was, you know, it was a, I don't know if it's a minig in Canada or not, but on Purim, when they brought Shalach Manos, they brought a cash gift as well. And I asked one of the fellas there, who I'm still in touch with, I still learn with him once a week from 10 years ago. And I said to him, why are you giving me this gift? He said, that's the minhag, that the children give their rebbes in the chadar, you know, they give their rebbes monetary gifts on Purim, you know, and you're my rebbe, so he says, I gave you a gift. I remember that. But in general, we shy away from Talmidei Chacham accepting major gifts. However, there is one thing, says the Ramo, which is absolutely permissible. Shari l'tamid chacham l'mita midi mihora aso kidei levar hora aso. He says the following. Imagine if you have a question about shechita. Let's say the meat was shechted and you found some sort of blood or some sort of breakage in a bone. You're not sure. Is it kosher? Is it not kosher? You take it to the rav. And the Rav paskins that it's kosher in this particular case. And now you want to give the Rav a gift. And you say to him, Rebbe, eat from the meat. Take an entire flank of the meat that normally would sell for, I don't know, hundreds of shekels. So he says the following. He's allowed to taste from the meat and receive that gift. And it's not like a payback for his horah, like for his psak, because he wants to demonstrate, and that's to be encouraged, that the meat is kosher. You know, sometimes, you know, you ask a rabbi, it'll say, oh yeah, you could eat that meat. But he himself, the rabbi, will not eat the meat. Have you ever had that experience? But the fact that the Talmud Chacham who paskin on this meat, he himself will eat the meat, then you know for sure it's kosher meat. And that's called lito mihora aso. It's mutter for him to take a modest gift of meat to demonstrate that he gave the proper horah, and you can rely on his horah. getting back to the Meshech Chochma, he says, Kein b'chatos, in the case of a korban chatos, she nifsal b'machshava shel shelo lishma, if he had the wrong machshava, which is called a machsheva shelo lishma, I feel a bit toes, if he made a mistake, let's say, for example, he thought it was a korban ola, when it was really a chatos, so he had a machshava shelo lishma, and all this was inadvertent, he didn't do it deliberately, is tzorech hamachte lechol mimenu. In this case, the Torah goes out of its way to say that this Kohen who brought the Karbon should eat from the Karbon. Why? Kidei levarer, to clarify and demonstrate to everyone, shelo hoisaba machshava psula, that no one should think that he had the wrong machshava and the animal is pigul, it's posel. The Asi Shapir, and now we understand the Ksiv Yochlena, like the Pasuk Yutes says, Hakoina Machti also Yochlena, the Zek Shehi Kula Shlema. Right, there are two different ways that the Torah could say to eat something. You could say Yochal Osa, eat that, or Yochlena. And the difference between the two languages, says Rav Meir Simcha, is that when it says Yochlena, it means it's still whole. Eat from it, as opposed to Yochal Osa, which means take a piece from it, but there are other pieces that were already divvied up. And the Torah wants to say that you should take the first piece as the Kohen, and you are demonstrating now that the Shechita was a Shechita Kshera, and that it was done Lishma, and there's no Psul in the Karbon, and that's called Yochalena. So hence we have two explanations in Rav Meir Simcha as to why in Chatos the Torah emphasizes that the Kohen should be eating from the Korban. So if you could fast forward now, also in Parshas Tzav, to Perek Ches, Posuk Zayin. And the Posuk says, Vayachgar oso biavnet. And what we're talking about here is the belt that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. And in the Parshios here, in Vayikra, there are two parts of the Parsha. First, there's what's called Tzava, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu gives the command to prepare the various begadim, the Bigdei Kahuna. And then there's called the Levisha, the actual placing the begadim on the bodies of the Kohen. And it seems that the Torah has a certain emphasis on the sequence. Aaron should come first, and he wore all his begadim, he put them on, and then Banav, the other Kohanim, his children and so forth, then they would be Lovesh, their begadim. So the first Haskalah, the beginning of the Levisha, was Aaron. And this is true both in the way it's commanded in the Torah and in the way it's implemented. Aaron came first. However, the Gemara in Masechta Yoma, which Rabbi Simcha makes reference to here at the beginning of the paragraph, records a debate about the Avnet. Because when Hashem commands the preparation of the Avnet, he says, V'chagarta osam Avnet Aaron ubanav. In other words, the wearing of the belt is given to both Aaron ubanav. It doesn't say first Aaron and then banav. So there's going to be a debate as to whether or not the Avnet requires that first comes Aaron and then the bonin. And Mandi Omar Aaron v'yachach bonov v'chsiv ayachgor oso biavnet. The Pasuk says that they gave Moshe Rabbeinu oversaw this whole process that the avnet, the belt, was worn first by Aaron, and hoder k'siv, and then it says v'yachgor osam avnet. Then the Avnet was worn by the other Kohanim. Umandi Omar Aaron Ubodo Bivasachas, that they both put on the Avnate simultaneously, whether it's Aaron or his children. Dichsiv Chagarta Osam Avnate Aaron Ubonov. And then the Gemara asks, Ulamandi Omar Aaron Ubodo Bivasachas, that both Aaron and his children put on the Avnate simultaneously in sync. Haksiv, but what are we going to do with the pasuk that says Vayakar Oso Biavnate, Oso referring to the Kohen Gadol, to Aaron? For Hadar Ksiv, in the next pasuk it says Vayakar Osam Avnate. Obviously, from the psukim, it's clear that first Aaron would put on the Avnate. Amalacha. So the Gemara responds, Hahu. That pasuk, that sequence is Tzava. And in Asiya, then Landenu Basha Einav Neitim Shav. So it means that as far as the Tzava is concerned, both Aaron and his children got the same Tzava. But as far as the sequence in which they wore the Avnet, then the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol was worn first. The Gemara then goes on to tell us in the same Sugya in Yoma that there was a major difference between the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol and the Avnet of the other Kohen. The Avnet of the Kohen Gadol, the Torah says, Vesa Avnet Sheish Mashzar. Mashzar is a reference to linen. And then it says, Tcheles V'Agamon. And Tcheles V'Agamon, especially Tcheles, is made of wool. Lamadnu shushal kelayim, that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol was made of a kelayim mixture of wool and linen, and the avnet of the other kohanim did not have kelayim in it. So this is fascinating, that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol was different than the avnet of the other Kohanim. Okay? Now, this shouldn't actually shock us, because the Kohen Gadol was special begotten that had Kelayim in it. For example, the Ephod and the Choshen and the Choshen. So the Avnet really is just a third example of Big Day Kuhuna of Kohen Gadol, Big Day Kohen Gadol that had shatneys in it. Aval pehejot, a non-Kohen Gadol, is kol shar begodov debuts. So he did not wear kelayim, and certainly not in the avnet. Ashkenami ki aygavna Kohen Gadol biyom kipurim lefi shahoya shar begodov debuts hayanami avneto debuts. The only exception, as far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, is on Yom Kippurim. Because on Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol wore Big Day Lavan. He wore simple begadim that didn't have, they were made of wool, a cloth, they didn't have any admixture of kelayim in it. So therefore the Avnet, the belt of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, was also a simple belt, and it was not made of Kohen Gadol, of kelayim. Okay, fine. Now we get back to Reb Meir Simcha. Pirshu b'tosis mishum de b'big day Kohen Gadol hoya kelayim bi ephod. And we mentioned the Choshen as well. So the Kohen Gadol wore kelayim in many of his begadim. Lachain hoya kelayim bi avnet, and his belt was also made of kelayim. As we saw, it was made of both tcheles and mashzar, sheish mashzar. Avol shel kohen hejot lahoya kelayim, but the avnet of the kohen hejot, the regular kohen, was not made of kelayim. Mistabra to lahoya shel kelayim. In other words, just like the other begadim of the Kohen Hejot were not made of kelayim, it's logical that the avnet, the belt, was also not made of kelayim. Ha'inyan, says Rabbi Simcha, what's this all about? The big day kahuna mechaprim, kidemafarish bizvachim daf pei ches omid beis. Every single one of the garments worn by the Kohen brought atonement. Ubigdei kahuna mechaprim al hirur halev. If the kohen had the wrong machshava, then the fact that he's wearing bigdei kahuna, that will atone for that sin. The ephod mechapra al avodah zara. Kamosha Omar, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Hosea Hanavi, ephod utrofim. Trofim has to do with idols. So the ephod had a particular role to play, and it's mechaper for the avera of avodah zarah. Michnasayim, those are the slacks that the kohen wore. Mechaprim al arayos, that was a kapara for any immodest behavior. Uksones, which is the longer beged, is al shvichas domim. So again, every one of the begadim corresponds to a different sin, and it's mechaper for that sin. Ubekulo machshava eina kemaisa, says Rav Meir Simcha, but in all the averis, with the exception of one, machshava, bad thought, is not like a maisa. Labar, the exception is avodah zarah. He quotes a Gemara in Brachos to prove that machshava kemaisa. Im kein, avnei shel kohen gadol mechaper al avodah zarah. The belt that was worn by the kohen gadol atones for the sin of avodah zarah. Shal hirur b'avodah zarah, which, as we said before, is a sin in machshava, in the mind. Shemachshava kemaisa, it's considered as severe as an action. V'lachenu shel kelayim kemo ephod. Right, just like we said that the ephod is mechaper on avodah zarah and it's made of kelayim, so too the avnet likewise is made of kelayim in the case of the kohen gadol. And just like the kohen gadol wore an ephod that was made of kelayim, the avnet is made of kelayim, and this is a kapara for the wrong machshavos. Mashenke behejot de mechaprim gadov al arayos shvichas domim. We don't find that with regard to other kohanim, the regular kohanim hejot, and their begadim, that there's a kapara for avodah zarah, because they only need a kapara for a maisa. Lachen avneto eino shel kelayim. The avnet of the other kohanim, which is made of boots, it's not made of kelayim, because kelayim is the kapara for avodah zarah. Rabbi Simcha doesn't tell you why the kelayim mixture is connected to avodah zarah. I have a feeling that maybe what he means is kelayim is the mixture of two different thoughts that are mutually exclusive, and in avodah zarah, you know, in addition to God, you know, there's another deity. So that's a kelayim of sorts. That's what I think he might mean. V'hine, hatam de machshava kemaisa b'avodah zarah. Why is it that the Torah considers thought, the wrong thoughts, as avodah zarah? As if he did an action, even though he didn't do any action. Dechsiv is based on a pasuk in Yechezkel, which the Gemara is going to quote at the end of the first parak in Kiddushin. Leman tfos Yisrael belibam. And belibam is a reference to avodah zarah, belev, in the heart. Mishum dekol avera hu b'emtzayus pe'ulos hachomer. Every other avera uses the material body. Kemo arayos, immorality, shvichas damim, where you murder someone. Aval avodah zarah hu ikro belev. Avodah zarah is in the heart itself, fundamentally. Shafilu im kiblo leloha belivavo, even if he accepted a deity upon himself as his God in his heart. Avad avodah zarah, that's considered a violation of avodah zarah. He didn't do any action, but his thought process alone is a violation of avodah zarah. Lachain im choshav lavod b'maisa, if he thought to worship a deity, gamkein machshava mitzarefes l'maisa, his thought is considered like an action. Kevon should be choles lavar es havera below maisa, because he can violate avodah zarah without an action. V'hinei, but in contrast, arayos v'shara averos Nafsho shel adam mecham dosam. He says that with regard to Arayos, his nefesh has a desire, he calls it a chemda, a passion for Gilui Arayos, o kina, or in the case of Shvichas Damim, it's jealousy. Sharshei Averos Hem Shlosha, there are three roots to sin, and they're represented by the three cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shvichas Damim. Vekulam Hema Anofim. These three Averos are like branches that emanate from three fundamental problems. Kol Avera Shemitzad Taiva V'Achemda Hema Gilui Arayos. Any Avera that is generated by lust or passion, that those are subcategories of Gilui Arayos. Kol Shemitzad Akina V'Hezek L'Zulaso. Anything because of jealousy or to destroy someone else, it's B'Klal Shvichas Damim. Anything in which he rebels against God, who mitzad avodah zarah. Avodah zarah nafsho shel adam eino misaveh. There's no passionate desire for physical pleasure of worshiping an idol. Rak hi ha-hata'ah b'seichel. It's all because his brain is warped. Vehine b'yom ha-kippurim nafsho shel adam. He wants to know, why on Yom HaKippurim does the Kohen Gadol wear only big day boots? There's no kilayim on any of the begadim that's worn by the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim. And the answer is because on Yom HaKippurim, a person is in a state of inui, right? He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, etc. He's afflicted. Hu nifrad mikishrei achomer. He's completely disassociated from physicality. And basically, man on Yom Kippur goes back to his makar, to his source, his spiritual origins. Qnetz al miginze maromim, vudavak el ahel el makoro v'sharsho, etc. Hu yisparach levat. So on this holy day of Yom Kippurim, the individual is somehow connected with the highest heavenly spiritual spheres, and he has a dveikus in God. V'lachein on the day of Yom Kippur, eino olul lachto b'avodah zarah. He's not going to come to sin with his mind on avodah zarah, because his mind is connected to a holier sphere. But if you talk about those sins that have to do with the physicality of man, and the, you know, the emotional makeup of man, asher gam lebehemot titochein lasos. He says an animal also has these physical desires and this emotional state. As ol lachto, he might sin even on Yom HaKippurim. And those are the sins of Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim, which are the sins of mice of action. And he proves this from a Gemara in Bava Kamma. I'm sorry, in the first parak of Yuma. V'satan lesle rishus hu avia toyos v'dimyonos hamisayim b'seichel. He says that the satan that normally will entice a person to have the wrong machshavos is powerless on Yom HaKippurim. And he says that on Yom HaKippurim nichnas kohen gadol lebeis kodesh kadoshim Lahoros ki nefesh ha-Yisraeli kshura b'makar ha-makorin yisparach. On this day of Yom HaKippurim, the Jewish soul is connected to its source, to God. V'lachein oz, on that day of Yom HaKippurim, ein eifod v'avnei shel kohen gadol shel butz. He says that on this day of Yom HaKippurim, the mixture of kelayim will not manifest itself in big day kahuna, not in the ephod, not in the avneth. She'ein tzar kapar al avodah zarah, because we said that the kelayim mixture in the big day kahuna of the kohen gadol is meant to generate an atonement for avodah zarah. But on this day of Yom HaKippurim, there's no suspicion of any thought of polluted thoughts of Avodah Zarah. Ki advekus minafshos Yisrael Hashem, the connection and the clinging between the nefesh of Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day of Yom HaKippurim, hu hatara, it's pure, mikol hatara, hat'ah, there is no pollution or distortion of his thoughts. The kizvon, milashon kazov, is falsehood, b'seichel, in his intellect, any of those thoughts of falsehood and krumkeit, you know, that would bring him to thoughts of Avodah Zarah. And v'zeo, and that's why Yirmiyahu HaNavi calls Yom HaKippurim Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. It's like a great mikveh that purifies the entire Jewish soul and the entire Jewish community on Yom HaKippurim. And therefore he says there's no need for the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim to wear any begadim of Kelayim, which normally during the course of the year are meant to be an atonement for the sin of Avodah Zarah, because there's no Machshava Avodah Zarah on Yom HaKippurim. So he's got here at Meir Simcha three roots of Averos, and they are represented by Gilui Arayos, which is the root of the passion of man, his emotional desire for pleasure. Shvichas Damim, which is any sort of hatred, jealousy, and those are two prototypes of the roots of sin that require maisa, that require action. And then there's a third category, which is Avodah Zarah, and that's a machshava, that's in the mind. And on Yom HaKippurim, we have to be far away from certain kinds of averos, and we have to be very careful and suspicious, and we might need the atonement of the Big Day Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim for those averos, the averos shebemaisa. But as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, which is averos b'machshava, on Yom HaKippurim there's no suspicion whatsoever, there's no need for a kapara in the Big Day Kohuna, and that is the begadim of Kelayim. Those are omitted on Yom HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol doesn't wear kelayim. There's no need to generate a kapara for Avodah Zarah, as is appropriate the rest of the year, when the kelayim in his begadim, in the ephod, in the avnet, are meant to generate a kapara for Yom HaKippurim. So let's just summarize. We were able to cover two different presentations of Rameir Simcha for Parashas Tzav. The first is about the special obligation on the Kohen HaOved when he brings a chatos to eat from the chatos. Rameir Simcha offered two different explanations for that. And number two, the explanation to justify the difference between Big Day Kohen Gadol during the course of the year and the begadim that he wore on Yom HaKippurim. In the case of the whole year round, he wore begadim that had kelayim in it, the ephod, the choshen, the avnet, because kelayim is mechaper for the chet of Avodah Zarah, which is the chet of machshava. But on Yom HaKippurim, when the nefesh of Yisrael is connected on high, and the Kohen Gadol demonstrates this by going lifnai v'lifnim in the Kodesh Kadoshim, there is no suspicion of hirhurim of Avodah Zarah, and therefore there's no need for the Big Day Kohuna to reflect kelayim as a vehicle for kapara for the sin of Avodah Zarah. There are a number of other very interesting presentations here in Parshas Tzav and the Meshech Chochma. For example, in Perek Zayin, Yodav Tivienu, Rabbi Simcha speaks about the transition and the differences between the Karbanos during the Shivas Yimei Amiluim, the Shmonos Yimei Amiluim, and the Karbanos Lidoros. Or, for example, he has a very interesting presentation in Perek Ches, Pasuk Hei, Vayomer Moshe El Ha'eda, Zeh HaDavar, what's the Zeh HaDavar? And later on in the parsha that we read about the Avnet, he has a discussion about the Ephod, the Din of Aaron HaKohen, the Kapar on the Chet of Avodah Zarah, more on that, and how the Ephod is Mechapar on Avodah Zarah. And then we were thinking of taking a look at some of the presentations of Rav Meir Simcha in Sefer Shmos in Parshas Bo about the schus of Klal Yisrael for the Geula of Mitzrayim, and particularly his commentary on the pasuk in Shmos Perek Yudalid, pasuk Chof Dalid, that's back in Parshas B'Shalach, on Vamayim Lahem Choma Miminom Mismolom, in which he speaks about the significance of what he calls Nimusios and Midos, to be far away from Lashon Hara and Machlokes, and he speaks about various generations, some of which were spared even though they were guilty of very, very severe sins like Avodah Zarah, for example the Doro Shel Achav, but Lo Hayah Bahem Dil Torin, and there was no disunity, there was no Lashon Hara, they had Nimusios and Midos, and therefore they were spared, as opposed to many soldiers who died during the Dor of David HaMelech, even though they were tzaddikim, but they had dilturin. And Rav Meir Simcha often speaks about the Dor of Gulas Mitzrayim, Lo Hayu Bahem Dilturim, Lo Dibru Lashon Hara Zal Zeh, the different interpretations of the unity of Klal Yisrael, the caring, the empathy during that period, the terrible Golos in Mitzrayim, and how in that Tzchus they merited the redemption from Mitzrayim. And that's a thesis of Rav Meir Simcha about what he calls Nimusios or Midos, which is Bein Adam LaChavero, and their central significance in and their role and their merit in bringing about the Geula. So as we approach Shabbos HaGadol, Mirtz Hashem, it's a great Shabbos, Erev Pesach, we should think about the Geula from Mitzrayim, we should think about these concepts which Rav Meir Simcha identifies as key concepts in causing, bringing about the Geula from Mitzrayim, and the Nemusios, and the Midos Tovos, Lo Dibru Lashon Hara Zal Zeh, and that sense of compassion and empathy of one Jew for the other in Mitzrayim is what not only brought about the Geula then, but in Mitzvah Shem will bring about the final, ultimate redemption. B'mheirav Yameinu, Amen.